KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Matt Malden joins us from 505 Church. That's 505.church on the web. It is our featured ministry at KLYT for this month, and you'll find details at klyt.fm in the featured area on the homepage, but then always look for them on the organizations page at klyt.fm. Matt, thanks for taking the time again.
Hey, Steve. I'm so glad to be with you, and hello, Albuquerque.
You know, we've had Jim before, and more and more people are finding out about 505 Church. But Matthew, for those not familiar, tell them more about 505 Church, how it came to be, you know, kind of the history and the vision and mission of 505 Church.
Sure. So we started off as a church called 505 Church. Now that's kind of our nickname or DBA name. We're now 505 Evangelistic Association. Of course, that's a lot more syllables and hard to say. But, you know, as any startup church, after 17 years, it became necessary to close it. It was humbling, and I only...
As a brick and mortar.
Yes, correct. Yeah. So I went outside just trying to, you know, do what I knew to do. God had raised me to be an evangelist. I was just doing the work of evangelism. So went downtown, and everything just kind of branched from there. We realized we needed to do something organizationally, but God just brought people to us who shared a burden.
Yeah.
And so we're just about mainly making Christ known through any way possible.
Yeah, you know, looking at that, it's important to plan, I guess, but in some ways, you're just open to the moving of the Spirit, and where can we more effectively share the gospel of Jesus Christ with this community? Now, how long has it been now since, you know, essentially the brick and mortar stopped, and you just started doing this street evangelism for lack of a better term.
Well, thank you for that. It's not just a street. It's anywhere. But it did start right on the streets again, which is what I did as a young man. But December 2024, we closed the church.
Okay.
And then it was probably around little over a year ago that we first hit the streets.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm sure at that time you had an idea of, okay, we're closing the door to the brick and mortar, but we're not stopping the gospel. Right. And you probably had kind of a vision at that time of how things would be. It's been, you know, over a year.
Right.
What do you think has been the most unexpected for you in that time?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked that question. So I didn't really have a full plan other than I needed to get out of the four walls. I knew that something had to happen because the gospel's not being propagated enough. We talk about it a lot, but what surprised me is this. This is awesome, by the way. The first time we went out, like I'm with my kids, my son-in-law and my daughter, he raps. We're just going to take some microphones and speakers and go out and hit the streets. We don't even know what corner we're going to go to. We hit the corner, and I said, I think there's somebody preaching. Lo and behold, there's a 19-year-old preaching. We made a connection there, right? He did it. He was doing it for the first time ever in his life. He was just preaching without it. When I came up to him later, he thought I was going to persecute him. I'm all, hey, skateboarder. Hey, preacher. Hold on, man. I'm going to be right there to help. He didn't know. He tried to hop an Uber and get away from me. If you see him online now, one of the YouTube videos, his name's Freddie.
Hilarious.
But what began to happen that surprised us most is that God was already beginning to bring people to us that I would call the two percenters, people that have a burden, they're the warriors, not the two percenters in the financial realm, but the two percenters who really, really want to work. They want Jesus to be known. They're drawn to us. And I really believe that what has surprised me is it became clear that the revival is going to come from a lay people movement of people who just can't stop talking about Jesus.
Well, it's appreciated. And I know off the air, Matthew, I've shared that with you. Brother, I appreciate what you're doing in our community, and I think we're very like-minded and we'll speak more to this later, but about bringing the body of Christ, the capital C church, together to work on the harvest, and the 2% are the few, the workers are few.
Yes.
Now, we mentioned the street, and and even in that, we said for lack of a better term.
Right.
And you said, yeah, so much more than that. Let's talk about the various areas where you're seeing some of the work being done through 505 Church, which, by the way, if you just tuned in, the featured ministry on KLYT for the entire month, 505.church is the website. But let's talk about some of the work that's gone on, going on, and is scheduled to happen,
right,
Lord willing, at UNM.
Yeah, well, it's been going on, and it's not... There's three main things. I call them initiatives. Christ Among Captives, that's prison ministry. Christ on Concrete, which is street ministry. And Christ on Campus,
okay,
which is UNM. And these are always going. We're not exclusively there. We're growing these. But UNM, we're doing right now, we've done just kind of going around talking to people and find other people that are witnessing. Again, God brings to us the warriors who are already doing it. And they're the real heroes, if you ask me, by the way. People are just doing it and nobody even knows about them. Mm-hmm. But we've established what's called an Ask the Pastor. So a pastor will join me. We essentially set up a table, give out pizzas, sodas. There's workers, again, two percenters, out there that are praying with people. And that's where the real magic happens, to tell you the truth. We get a lot of attention setting up like a podcast table,
yeah,
fielding questions. But that's happening out there so that these students can ask these questions. But more than them asking questions, what's happening is they're getting prayed for, and they're getting the gospel by just having the one-on-one interactions around the pizza table or on the walking area.
College yeah. students,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, right. Oh, they love pizza. Yeah, and then so my son-in-law will rap too, so we'll have a little break. He'll rap or something like that, testimonies. So we're mixing it up, and we just use those same tools downtown too. We'll preach, rap, testify, answer apologetics questions, but they're behind the speaker.
Yeah,
there's one-on-one conversations. People that need prayer. A lot of people have this misnomer that it's a homeless ministry. We're talking to students, business owners, just regular people coming out of the bars or walking, just checking out downtown area. Mm-hmm. And then prison ministry has been absolutely fantastic. We have such an incredible time there. And people are signing up wanting to say, hey, can I go in there with you? I might not go every week, but can you make it so that I can at least get in there and experience that with you? And we've even had recently some folks from Santa Fe calling us, say, hey, can you create something there or teach us how to do it?
So specifically, is there a list of prisons or jails that you're able to get into?
We have primarily focused on one. That's the maximum security section of the prison in Los Lunas, which
okay.
is called Central.
Okay.
And we are the only actual church service on Sunday there at maximum security, and they love it. It's been, we do worship, we do a rap, we've even trained up and created a space even for some of the inmates to give messages, which is a new development lately and has been very powerful as well. So we have that prison, but others are calling us, hey, we want you here too, which
okay.
is very cool. So we're always looking at growth trends, expand the vision, you know.
Okay, so you mentioned campus,
yes,
captives, and concrete.
Right, yeah.
Let's talk about what's happening on the concrete.
On the concrete, well, Ask the Pastor is this Thursday, first one of this month.
At UNM.
Yes, and then Concrete, we're restarting that initiative first time this year. So we go downtown and we pray first for folks. We pray out loud and let them know that we're praying for them, why we're there. And I'll typically grab the mic and I'll say, hey, Albuquerque, we love you. That's why we've come out here to preach the gospel to you and not keep it to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear people who are testifying, preaching, but we are here available for questions. If you need prayer or anything, we're here. It's not just at this speaker, but there are people around me with testimonies who are here to help you as well. And so we sometimes feed them. It's just all organic. And one of the big surprises you asked me about earlier that I didn't see, it's not just that the lay people come.
Uh-huh.
It's just that God showed me, turn them loose and let them use their gifts.
Yeah.
And when that happens, they later ask me questions. We facilitate them being used how God wants to use them when we give them certain instructions. But discipleship often happens. It's often been said evangelism is better caught than taught. And so it's not just conceptualizing. If you've ever wondered or thought about doing evangelism, yeah, to attend a class. But I'm telling you, get your feet on the ground, preferably concrete, and go out there. And what will happen is you'll have questions. You'll know what you don't know. You'll
yeah.
know what you need to learn.
I may have said this in an earlier interview with you. I know I have said it on the air before. And funny enough, I in the last couple weeks, I was in Nashville at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. I walk outside, and John Schlitt, lead singer for Petra, was sitting on a bench there with his wife, struck up a conversation. Now, John wasn't with the group when they did this song that comes to mind with what, but it goes back to Greg X. Volz on lead vocals, but Bob Hartman probably penned it. The song "Lift Him Up" from Petra, and I'm showing my age, but you know, a portion of the lyrics is "Lift Him Up higher and higher, lift Him Up, set the world on fire."
Come on, baby.
It doesn't take any Bible degree, just lift Him up for the world to see.
Yes.
And what you're saying, Matthew, what I hear you saying is you've accepted the gospel. And like you said, that, you know, classes, you know, okay. But you know, we need to share our faith, which brings really kind of another question, Pastor. Who's called to evangelize?
Well, I'm glad you said that. Everyone who's been converted to Christ has been welcomed and challenged and commanded to be a part of what we call the Great Commission.
Yeah.
Look at the end of Matthew 28, Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, look at the end of Mark, beginning of Acts, and you'll see that God has wanted every Christian to announce
the Great Commission.
Proclaim them. Correct.
Yeah.
And then, let me just say something about that. If you track through the book of Acts, which is where we see the first expansion of the church, you begin to see, yes, there's this big movement where Peter preaches. That's because they're being shamed at first. Oh, these people are drunk. And boom, God pushes them into a situation where the gospel must be preached publicly. But later on, you see other movements. You see two men who were just known as basically deacons.
Yeah.
They weren't the big high-level clergy, high-level names. Stephen preaches and is doing apologetics while he's going to basically hand out food to widows. God uses that moment. Paul likely gets saved out of that, and Stephen dies. Philip is another one of those who's just going. But later on, when you get about to Acts 11, you see where it just says men of Cyrene, unknowns, began to finally cross cultures and tell the gospel to people who are not just Jews. And one of the biggest expansions ever happened, a new church is launched, and it's called the Church at Antioch of Syria. But you see these movements happen when people are willing to make Christ known. And one more, let me just give you one more. When Paul was stopped from preaching the synagogues, I can't remember what city it is, but he basically went across the street to this place called the School of Tyrannus.
Uh-huh.
And it was out of that he began to form disciples. Now, those disciples were turned loose, and it said all of Asia heard the gospel. It's probably Asia Minor, but still, you're seeing, again, a lay people movement.
Yeah. You know, for those listening that are like, man, that intimidation factor, and we've talked about it a little bit, get trained up. Be prepared to share the faith that's in you. We've mentioned campus, concrete, and the captives. And that may be exactly where people that are listening may connect at 505.church and be a part of these different areas where you're ministering. Here's another, I might have a new C for you.
Let's go, baby.
Okay. Corporate.
Okay.
You know, please remember, you know, you may be, I'm at my job. Well, you mentioned Stephen was on his way to do this and evangelism happened. You know, we are image bearers, and many people, I believe, feel like, man, I wish I was in ministry. And that's a noble, you know, goal. But you are in ministry. And you know, you're sitting in your office and opportunity, you know, and I understand whatever jobs have different things that you can and can't do, HR, blah. You know what you can do? You can be an image bearer and live for Christ, and at lunch or break or whatever. Listen, you live like that. Matthew, correct me if I'm wrong. People are going to ask questions.
Yes, that's true. But there's also another factor in this. It's the X factor. The other variable in this. Do you see anyone coming to Christ through Stephen? Not immediately. You don't see that. But if Paul was the result of Stephen's witness,
right?
How much of the world? Well, you never know when your life might win where, and it's only in your workspace that
person
some
lives. People may have only seen Stephen stand for Christ to the end,
right?
To the end of life on this earth, and realize that whatever he believed is worth dying for.
Mm-hmm.
So we can all have an impact. And you know what? If the Spirit isn't speaking to you specifically, or you're not hearing what the Spirit is in which way you could be doing that, pray that the Spirit, He would show you,
yes,
where you can be used in the Great Commission. And you know, as we put a bow on our conversation, Matthew, you know, we've been speaking a lot to the lay people,
yes,
the workers, mm-hmm, the 2%. As 505.church continues to expand and grow and have an impact in our community, tell us your heart for the pastor. Speak directly to the pastors that might be listening.
Well, probably it's best to just tell you of pastors that have reached out to me. There's one at Tramway and Copper, Jesus First. He's reached out to me to help, and we're trying to organize something. I just want the pastors to know we're not here to be competition. We're an evangelistic association. I know what it's like to struggle building a church, a small church, needing helpers. And there's likely people in your church who've joining us, they'll get on a fire, for lack of a better term. They'll begin to live a vocal life for Christ. It's caught. And when that happens, you can't help but have expansion when people are telling other people about Jesus. But I want pastors to know that, you know, essentially we have three main motivations: proclaim Christ, strengthen churches, and confront the darkness. And when it says to strengthen churches, yeah, it's by informing the lay people, but I'll go into your churches. I'll preach. I don't even want money. I don't want it, but I don't have to have it. I mean, yeah. I preach.
Paul said, take up an offering.
Yeah, 17 years I preach without a salary. And so I don't represent competition. I want to build a coalition. I want to do similar things that Billy Graham did, where the churches came together solely for the purpose of making Christ known. And if, pastor, you tell me you need equipment or something, I'm going to ask somebody to find equipment for you. I want to do whatever I can.
You know, it sounds to what I'm hearing in that too, Matthew, is building a network,
yes,
of co-laborers,
yes,
to further the Great Commission.
Right. Right. That's as simple as that.
Yeah.
But I really be very specific that whatever pastor needs, if I can't help, I'll try to find a way. I don't want them to just struggle. They need prayer partners, somebody to talk to, or raise funds for something. Well,
let's pause on that.
Yeah.
A prayer partner, someone to talk to.
Right.
How many pastors struggle, you know?
Yeah.
What people don't see in these shepherds, and that they are men.
Yes.
And they need accountability. They need those people to hold their arms up as Moses had people. Speak to that a little bit.
Well, let me say the first thing. When we talk about this, the first fear is, can this man keep his mouth shut? And the truth is, yes, I can, and I will. Nobody needs to know about what you're going through if you're reaching out to a friend, you know? And so, yeah, there's a lot of unknown burdens. And here's the sad part. Organizationally, sometimes pastors can't talk to the other pastors in the organization.
Yeah.
You know, there's a competition. Sometimes there's crabology, probably know that term, you know, where there's just like a pull down. I'll make them look bad. And there's not really a safe space for pastors to talk about. Well, they could have temptations, could have sin they're doing.
Well, they do.
But it's not just that. It's just, hey, man, I'm going through the mind battles. Sometimes I feel like I quit. I feel worthless.
Well, we are in a spiritual battle. Mm-hmm. And that's really anywhere on this globe.
Right.
While we occupy this, you know, temporary place where we are aliens.
Mm-hmm.
What a great opportunity.
You're an alien, I'm a pilgrim. What translation you read.
But you know, we're in New Mexico.
Yeah.
And I feel it. It's, you know, the spiritual warfare that's happening here.
Yeah.
And what a great opportunity for pastors to, you know, have an organization, a brother, that could come alongside and be there for, you know, some areas where, you know, quite honestly, the church may be failing our shepherds.
Surely that's true. A lot. Church in America, not just in Mexico, has become a spectator thing. And so when I preach in churches, I always want to exalt Christ and bring people the gospel, but I want Christians, number one, to reset their affections on Christ because they need passion again. But I also want them to understand that they have a place in the church. You are called there in that local body to build it up.
They are part of the body.
Yes.
Yeah.
To build up the pastor, to build up the finances, to generate talent, to keep encouraged. If you read through where Paul says, hey, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, he literally is saying with that, consider how you may provoke one another, stir up love and good works. In other words, we're supposed to be intentional when we go and meet as a body. How can I build someone up in this body? And that's been lost.
Well, our guest has been Pastor Matthew Malden with 505 Church. 505.church is the website. We'd encourage you to go there, and you will continue to hear the spots that are airing throughout the month of March as the featured ministry. Matt, I consider you a brother and
thank
a co-laborer,
and
I'm encouraged by the work that you're doing and encouraging others and equipping others to get done. Any closing thoughts?
Yes, I want us all to remember that what you sense is real. Things are happening. Time is running out. Seize the window that we have for Christ. Please do not sit on your hands.
All right. God bless you, brother. Look forward to having you in again.
God bless you. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.